We're going to a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrows. And we're going to continue the thought in Psalms chapter 57. Then we'll be going to Psalms 108, Psalms 112, and Luke 26. I normally don't use a lot of scriptures, but sometimes you just have to do that to get the message God gave you. So you have to be turning a little bit tonight. Won't hurt you. And they'll hopefully have it on the screen if you don't have time to turn. We'll talk to you tonight about a heart fixed in this earth for heaven. If we can't fix anyone's heart. I can't fix mine. I'm talking about spiritual heart, that is. But if we would allow God to fix our hearts, there would be no more problems. That is the world's problem today, hearts out of tune with God. And God is in the heart-fixing business. And we're going to look now, the word fixed is used several times in the scripture. We're going to look at four of them tonight and make application. David, doing the writing in Psalms 57, he liked the fixed heart. He is right proud of it. God fixed it, of course. And let's read the text together. And that word fixed, it has several applications. It means that which has been accomplished. That which has been acquired from another source. That which God has confirmed in His Word and made application. That has been predetermined. And God's already determined what He's going to do for us. And He's going to fix your hearts. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, He'll clean us up before we get home. Oh, God's in the heart fixing business. It means directed, established. It means firm, something God has already planted and God has purposed to do that for us. It means that once we get our hearts fixed, it'll be furnished, made ready. It also means prepared. God has prepared everything for us for the journey ahead. We need not worry about nearly as much as we worry about. God's already got it fixed and prepared. All He's wanting to do is fix your hearts to receive it and accept it. It means to be made ready, to be made right with Him, of course. It means steadfast and secure. It means stable. And it means steadfast. David had all these things and more in mind when he wrote this scripture in Psalms chapter 57. My heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I can hear the jubilation in his heart. Just to think about it, you see many people that don't have their heart fixed, don't want to have their heart fixed because they want to rule their own life. And once David realized it, and my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed in this earth for a place called heaven. He continues, I will sing and give praise. He got something to sing and praise about now, don't he? He's got his heart fixed, secure, steadfast. All those words that we used before. It's done. It's established. It's prepared. It's stable. And it's going to remain steadfast all through this life and to a place called heaven. And then he continues, awake up my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And of course, David was excited about it because he had a heart in tune with God now. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is to give praise and glory. That's what he said. My heart is fixed and the rest of my life, I will give you praise and glory. That would take forever to preach that, just to give praise and glory to God. How do you do that? In so many different ways. By living a life pleasing to Him. By forgiving others as He has forgiven us. By having a desire to please Him, by wanting to trust Him, by having the desire to lead others to Jesus. And all these things, he says, I'm going to sing and give you praise about. And we give him praise and honor when we live a life pleasing to him. You can lift up your hand. That's wonderful. You can shout with a loud voice, praise be unto God. Or you can just simply have a heart fixed and everybody will see it. You don't have to go around wearing the badge if you'd be all right if you wanted to. But you really wouldn't have to. People can see your attitude. They can see the smiles on your face. Even when things are going bad, don't wait for the smiles when, you know, you get a check in the mail and all the bills are paid and you got a good doctor's report. That's all things to praise him for. But if you get your heart fixed, if you allow him to fix your heart, make it steadfast and secure, you can give him honor and praise and glory and put a smile on your face when the bottom's falling out. It's a heart condition. And God will take care of everything else if we can get our hearts. And you can't, but he can. We must be willing. We must be excited about it as David was. And he said, I'm going to give you praise and honor all the rest of my life because you're in a heart-fixing business. But that wasn't good enough. No, there's something else. And he wrote it again in Psalms 108. Not only did he want to give God praise and glory, but in Psalms 108, he wanted to have his heart fixed for the sake of others. Isn't that what it's all about? When God saved you, you were just as sure for heaven as if you're already there. Not only you got a ticket, I mean, it's prepared. Your heart's fixed, you're going. But then he leaves us down here so we can help others get their hearts fixed. Now, I'm not in the heart-fixing business, neither are you. But if they're looking at me and I can learn to trust him in every situation and I can give him praise and honor and glory, as he told us in the first in the seventh verse, if we can do that, then others will take note of it. And read what he says in Psalms 108, verse 1. He's proud his heart's fixed for the sake of others. No, they're only for himself. Oh, happy day when I realized it came to my mind. I don't know why it took so many years. I mean, this ought to be a kindergarten stuff. That it's not about me. It's about others. Oh, when I got saved, that was settled. The rest of my life was supposed to be for others, for him. He died for the whole world, not just one or two. He died for everyone, and we ought to have the mind of Christ. Listen at Psalms 108, verse 1. A song or a psalm of David. A song or a psalm of David. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. See, God gave him the love for him, and therefore he induced in him and he imparted to him the glory that he ought to give all days of his life. He'd already determined that in the seventh verse of the 57th chapter. I will sing and give praise unto thee. That's my heart's desire. It's fixed, settled, secure. Can't change it. Nobody. Isn't that good? We live in a time when a lot of people is trying to change a lot of things. You know, the government would try to change us and get us to believe different. The news media tries to do all the things to brainwash you. Too late. Too late. My heart's fixed. He fixed it and settled it in this world for a place called heaven. My job is to give him praise and glory. And, number two, to live a life so we can introduce Christ Jesus to them so he can do the same for them he's done for us. So he's writing this. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. I won't hide it myself. Oh, when he was a little shepherd boy out on the hillsides taking care of his father's sheep, wasn't anybody else to sing to, just him and the sheep and the bears and the lions that came to destroy the father's sheep. His father Jesse had entrusted him with the sheep. And so he was out there playing his harp and giving praise and honor to God. And God heard it. And God says, I've got you fixed up, boy. I want to spread you. I want to make something out of you. I want to put you in a position where you can share this with the world. And he gave him the ability to write much of the Psalms. And now the world has it at their fingertips if they want to. He made him king over Israel. And that was his heart's desire. This praise and glory and honor to you is good, but I want to share it. And if you have that attitude, he'll put you in a place to share it. So he said, I want to be among the people. Look what he said, verse 3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. Not just taking care of my father Jesse's sheep. Not just out when you give me enough strength and courage to slay the giant Goliath. And all the armies of Israel will see, and the Philistines will see. That's good. But I want to go farther. I want to exalt your name among the heathen. I want to be a standard bearer for you. I want to write psalms. He didn't say all this, but God had it in his heart. That tells about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, he gave him some insights too. And that's all because he had a heart for God. Oh, when you get your heart fixed, a lot of things can transpire in your life. He can show you things. He can put you in places and do things for you. He can keep you in tune with him when it seems like there is no hope for the day, much less tomorrow. And he said, I've already determined. It's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Why would he do all that? Oh, he tells us. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth into the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. So now he's got his heart fixed to give God praise and honor. He's got his heart fixed to share it with other people and tell them the good news that God can take care of them and fix their heart too. But number 3, God fixes your heart for a lot of reasons, but this is a very important reason. I touched on it this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalms 112, verse 7. God fixes our heart so we can trust him. If you trust him, you won't be spending a whole lot of time telling him what to do. Because you'll know he knows far better what you need than you'll ever know. He'll trust, if you can trust him, and you can't do it till you get your heart fixed. And you can't even begin until you start singing and giving praise and honor for what he's done. And you can't do it until you have a desire to tell others that he's in the heart fixing business. Once all that's accomplished, then and only then are you a candidate for Psalms 112, verse 7. God fixes a heart to trust him. That's the primary thing. He doesn't want us running around second guessing him or telling others it may be well and it may not be well. That's why I like the old song, It Is Well. It is well with my soul. Why? Because he fixed it. And I learned to trust him. Psalms 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tithing. Why? His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. So you watch the news report, and if you're not careful, if you don't have your heart fixed, you'll worry, you'll fear. You'll read about Obamacare and how it's going to ruin us, and it probably will. But if your heart's fixed, you got something more on your mind than that. And that can be accomplished. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Who? He who has his heart fixed. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. See, when you sing praises to him and concern about others, and want to teach them all you know and that he knows everything, then you can trust him. Next thing that comes your way, the fear will be gone. Even the fear of the potential things that could come your way. I wonder how many people worry, and probably 98% of the stuff they worry about don't happen anyway. You don't have the mind or capability, nor do I, to even know what to worry about. Why should you waste your time worrying? The things you worry about probably won't happen. The things that will happen, you don't understand, know enough to worry about them anyway. So the best thing to do is just let Him fix your heart. Then you can trust Him. He knows the way. He knows your way. He knows my way. He knows the intent of my heart. And when I pray, I say, Lord, I trust You. Fill in the blank. Oh, He taught that to me many years ago. I hadn't been pastoring very long here at the church. I told some of you before. And I wanted God to do all these things. And I prayed about it. You know, God, this is, I want to do what You want. And so I started pinning it down. I want You to do this. And I want You to do that. And after I got several written, I was kind of proud of them because I knew this. For His kingdom's sake, it wasn't a bit of it for prestige, popularity. I never have been interested. Peer pressure never has bothered me whatsoever. I got a lot of problems. I won't tell you about them. But peer pressure is not one of them. Thank God. And so I had all these things, and I was praying, Matt, would You do this? You know, and He said to me, I've got all this too, you know. It's my church. I put You there. And I've got plans for it. But yours is pretty good, you know, seeing as you're who you are. Which one? He gave me a choice. Which list do you want to go by? Yours or mine? I didn't pray about it. I didn't think about it. I just wadded up and never made another list since. If He's got a list, I'm going to trust Him to perform. And all I have to do is pray to Him to keep me in the center of His will so I can hear Him and follow Him. And we're going on His list, not mine. And I learned that by letting Him fix my heart to give Him praise and honor. And He let me understand that it's not about me, it's about others. And then He fixed my heart so I can trust Him and tell other people, you can trust Him. I couldn't say that about anybody or any other thing in the world. I could not tell you, nor you could tell me, if you have some money, where to put it. He told me that one time, too. I remember several years ago, for whatever reason, I had an extra $100, and that was pretty rare, but I did. And I thought, I'll put that in the stock market somewhere. And I'm not putting down the stock market. That's good if you want to do it. And I was thinking, you know, where would I put it? You know, I put it in that company or that company. And I was after dividends, of course. I wanted that $100 to grow and watch it grow and spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to move it around. And you know what God told me? He said, if you'll put that in Camp Zion, I'll pay better dividends than you'll ever receive anywhere else in this world. Okay. Well, I did. I can't begin to tell you what He's done for me. He saved my family. Called my son to preach. Oh, God's been good to me. And I just trust Him completely. So put your trust in the Lord. Everything about your life, you can trust Him. Let's read the rest of this division of the Psalms. Psalms 112:7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Ah, but it gets better. His heart is established. Part of the word fixed. It gets fixed. It's a complete package. Secure, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, the work of the Lord. Established. Oh, but it gets better, doesn't it? He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The czar of the wicked shall perish. It sounds to me like it's a pretty good package deal. That when you start trusting the Lord, he takes care of your enemy. He takes care of every single item. You don't have to make a list. And you don't have to really know anything. You know him and you trust him to show you what to preach, how to pray, how to spend your time, where to put your money. It's a package deal. I couldn't recommend anything else, but I sure could recommend this. Number four. Let's go to the book of Luke. See that God fixed David's heart and your heart and mine to give him honor and praise. Saying it to him. To fix your heart to help others. And to fix your heart to trust him. Number four. God delivers a fixed heart to a place he's got fixed. When you get your heart fixed and he fixes your heart, it's fixed for a place called heaven that he has prepared and fixed. Look what he says in Luke chapter 26. I'm sorry, Luke 16, 26. Luke 16, 26. Of course, this is a story of Lazarus and the rich man. Wasn't a parable, it was a person. There was a certain rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And the rich man didn't have any intentions or desire to get his heart fixed. He saw Lazarus. Must have been a righteous man. He ended up in a fixed place, so he had to be righteous. God had to have fixed his heart. So he had a witness, the rich man did. Let's keep reading Luke 16, 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. The rich man is in hell. He lifted up his eyes. And too late, he saw Lazarus that had a heart fixed. And he knew he couldn't get there, but he wanted something from there to come comfort him. Wasn't much. He had enough sense still to realize that he won't get out of that place. The suffering will endure for eternity. He just wanted a little comfort, just a little comfort from the suffering. He didn't ask to get out of there. He knew he couldn't. So he must have knew something about the God and the Word of God. He just wanted a drop of water. Not much to ask for. But even that cannot be accomplished because the only time to get your heart fixed is in this earth to get you to heaven. So the Word came back to him. God has fixed the great gulf. Once you leave this earth, once you die, your destination is determined. The only time to get the heart fixed is now. Don't wait too late. God's in the heart fixing business. I've got that great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he started having a burden for his brothers. But see, if you had got your heart fixed ahead of time, you could have the burden for your brothers now. It's a package. You get your heart fixed to give him praise and honor. You get your heart fixed to help others. You get your heart fixed to trust him. And then he will fix a place for you in heaven. And so now the rich man is saying, well, I've got some brothers over there. Let's see what he says. I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He had compassion. Too late. The only time to get your heart fixed is in this life. It's amazing that he had compassion for his brethren. He had never compassion for no one, not even Lazarus, who was poor and a beggar, just desiring a crumb. No desire. It depicts many, many people on planet Earth today. You know as well as I do, they're all for themselves. And all their problems could be summarized in one. They don't have a heart fixed. And it's amazing to me that his heart was more fixed in hell than it ever had been in earth. But it's too late. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. But Jesus told us all about that, didn't he? He said they wouldn't repent with the preaching. And they wouldn't repent when I was there and I was God manifest in the flesh. Did the miracles. Turned water into wine. Opened the eyes of the blind. Deaf could hear. Blind could see. Lame could walk. And the dead were raised back to life. And they wouldn't repent. So God's fixed that too. He sent the gospel. That's his way and his purpose. Without the preaching of the gospel, the recognition that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and we as an individual know we're lost and admit it, confess it, and yield ourselves to him and to trust him. And you say, I don't have that faith. Well, admit it. Good. You don't. But then he gives you of his faith. He knows your faith would waver and wouldn't hold out anyway. So he gives you something that will last. Paul learned that. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He tried to muster up faith when he was out studying and reading and understanding the Jewish law and the prophets. Knew him better than anybody. But the kind of faith he had was putting Christians to death. But when he met Jesus, it was instant, he got his heart fixed. Same thing happened to me. Instant. Not salvation today, and one of these days, God will empower and use you. It's a package deal. When you get saved, you get saved. Name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He comes in your heart to live. You grow in grace and you get sanctified daily. But hey, this salvation is instant. That's what Jesus tried to tell Nicodemus. You must be born again. Instantaneous birth. Permanent birth. Forever and ever and ever. Oh, I pray to God that we will allow him to fix your heart. As these four indications say, it's the only time you're ever going to do it. While you're on planet Earth. A lot of good reasons you need to. I pray that we will. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. God's in the heart fixing business right now. You don't have to go home and wait. You can do it right now. Say, well, I'm saved. Are you giving praise and glory? You have an interest in others? Are you trusting him with anything and everything? Or are you worrying and fear? He said if you get your heart fixed, you don't have to worry and fear. He won't take that back. He said it's true. I will not be afraid. So kind of it's a measurement, an indication of how much your heart's fixed. And then he fixed our heart for heaven. No turning back, no turning back. Would you please come to piano or organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. Mind the Lord in that. He can replace that anxiety and fear with trust, complete trust. He can teach you how to pray. He can teach you how to understand his plans for your life. It's all in the process of heart fixing. Whatever your needs tonight, don't be ashamed. He offers heart fixing. If you have the heart condition physically And the good heart doctor says, hey, I know what to do to you. You'd say, do it. Hey, God's better than that. He says, what I'm going to do is fix your spiritual heart permanently. Take away the fear. Take away the worry. Put in trust. And put in the desire to help somebody else. That's offered. You won't find anything like that anywhere else in the Word. Only in Christ Jesus will you come. All over the house. Just tell Him. I need an operation of the spiritual heart. Cut on it deep. It'll be permanent. David got right excited about it. Couldn't hush up. He just kept on writing about it. Wanted you and I to get in on it too. Then he put that in there in Luke chapter 16. You better get it fixed on there, because there's no place to do it after this. That great gulf, you see. After death, the judgment. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for your precious, precious word. Thank you for your leadership. Oh God, search my heart. David, even though he's got his heart fixed, still said, I don't know my heart. So he asked you to search it. And Father, if there be any wicked way, forgive, cleanse, and fix. It's just as simple as trust you. With your faith, we love you so very much. We thank you for everything. So many needs. And I trust you with them. You're accomplishing a good work. Better than I could ever figure out. You've got the timing right. You've got it all taken care of. Help us trust you. And lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. And you did promise to direct our paths. I won't take you up on that. I don't have enough understand to lean on anyway. So I'm going to look to you for direction. I love you, Jesus. Amen.